Hello and welcome to the Reborn Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Timothy Horn, and happy new year to you all. Welcome to Series 5. It's so good to have you back and it's so nice to be back. I hope you all had a pleasant and restful Christmas and a lovely new year. And I hope you are excited and looking forward to what 2021 holds for you. I've got a great first episode to start you off today. We've got a fantastic guy in David Rahman coming on today, who is a mind coach, speaker, and is also an author of a new book, Let It Go, which is actually available to pre-order. But without further ado, let's get him on. David Rahman, welcome to the Reborn Fitness Podcast.
Thank you, Timmy. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. How was your Christmas and New Year?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Good.
Peaceful,
good.
Quiet, and
lovely.
Getting through this period, isn't it? Getting through.
Yes.
And let's take 2021 and make it a year to remember.
Absolutely. Well, I think to start, let's just give you the floor and just tell the Reborn Fitness community who is David Rahman.
Thank you, Timmy. I'm a mind coach, and I help people who are looking for more self-confidence, self-esteem, and people who are dealing with things like overthinking. And really want to challenge themselves to be better in an area of their life. So I help them with their mindset.
Oh, that's awesome. And talk to us, when you're growing up, how did you come about becoming a mind coach? Because it's quite not a niche thing, but it's not one of those sort of mainstream. But yeah, how did it come about growing up? You know, were you a sporty person? Were you an arty person? What was the journey growing up, and what was your dreams growing up?
Yeah, sure. Well, if I go back to, say, when I was, say, 11, 12 years old, I was very much into sports. I loved watching the Olympics, you know, football, tennis. I loved sport. In fact, I was the only one in the house.
Oh, okay.
I used to play tennis, cricket, all that.
Okay.
And I remember watching the Ashes, Botham's Ashes back in 81. I'm showing my age now. I used to even have key cards. They were like cards, A5 size, and it would have details of, at that time, famous sports people like Bjorn Borg and Mark Bitts. And then growing up, I play sport. And for me, mindset is a big part of sport.
Absolutely.
But it's not something that I ended up doing, first of all. I went to university and did a couple of science degrees.
Oh, okay. And, you know, reading on your website, you said that you had a lot of, you know, low confidence, low self-esteem, socially anxious, didn't, you know, turn a lot of events down.
Yeah.
What caused that low confidence? Was it just something that always happened, or was there a certain trigger that caused that low confidence?
Yeah. Do you know, when you're growing up and you start questioning yourself, you start looking at other people and wondering, why are you confident? You seem to have it all together. And as a teenager, especially as a guy, and it still happens these days, we can't talk about it. And we just keep it to ourselves. I don't know, I just found myself all of a sudden this conversation with myself and wondering why I wasn't confident. People thought I was happy, but you just put a brave face on, especially when you're growing up. So I just found growing up really challenging, difficult. And looking back, I mean, at that time, I couldn't label myself as, oh, I suffer anxiety or I've got no confidence. You just think that's the way you are. So looking back, it was just something that you just grow up and one thing led to another. It could have been something that someone said in school. It could have been the bullying I had in school. I don't know. But little things then cause a person eventually then, by the time they're coming to the end of their teenage years, to feel a certain way about themselves. We believe we're good enough or not good enough, you know?
Yeah. And how long did this low confidence last? When did you have that moment where you're like, right, actually, David, I need to sort myself out here, otherwise life's just going to slip away and it's going to be gone before I know
it? Sure. Decades. Decades. Everyone I know, whether they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, has an area of their life where maybe not so confident. So I would say self-confidence. I just had to put it on. Pretend wow. I was confident when I was in my 20s and 30s. You just pretend. You have to. I used to work as an optician, an optometrist at one point for years, and that really helped me, Timmy, to come out of my and become more confident because you've got to deal with the public.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're forced to become more confident and assertive, which so that was a blessing in disguise, to be honest, Timmy.
Sure. And when did the mind coach thing start to come about? Did you know the fact that you went through it think, well, do you know what, as I've experienced it, let's turn that negative into a positive and help other people? Was that sort of how it came about? Yeah. How did it come about?
Yeah. I was always interested in psychology, Timmy, growing up. I don't know why. Okay. I just liked things like psychology, philosophy, and I used to love, one of the earliest things I ever read in my life was Aesop's Fables.
Okay.
Remember those? And they would have fables written, I don't know, 1,000 years ago or whatever, and they would have a meaning to the story. And, you know, like the hare and the tortoise.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a meaning to the story. So I knew I was interested in that. Even when I was in university, my first degree was biochemistry.
Wow.
I actually did walk over to the psychology department
my
first year and think, I don't know why. You just, do you know when something feels right?
Sure.
I rung the department. They said, well, you're doing biochemistry. We could give you admission, but you'd have to wait another academic year.
Right.
So I knew then, okay, psychology, but then I carried on with my science career. And then, yeah, over time, you're right. I thought, well, I want to go into psychology, helping people. I don't know what I'm going to do. I researched on the earlier version of the internet, you know, the dial-up?
Yep, yeah.
I started looking up psychiatry, psychotherapy, counseling, but if something doesn't appeal to you, you can feel it, can't you?
You can, absolutely. Right.
So I came across life coaching one day.
Okay.
And immediately, Timmy, I knew this is something that you can help regular people with just issues. And then I decided to just research it for a couple of years, and then I started then doing my trainings then. At the beginning of this century, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And were you still doing the opticians at that point alongside your training?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And people were saying, don't leave your careers optician. It's safe. What are you doing? What's a life coach? And all that. Because no one knew what coaches were. I mean, these days, people look at it as some sort of trend.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I've been doing it a long time, and when people just didn't know what the heck it was, so... yeah, it resonated with me straight away, and I was just born to be a coach. I knew that.
And did you have doubts when you were still at the working as an optician? Because at the time, mind coach, life coach, as you say, was probably quite a niche career. Not many people had heard about it.
Yeah.
Did you doubt? Obviously, it felt right, but obviously, everyone naturally has doubts. And, you know, is this going to work out? Oh, this is crazy, as you say. Opticians is a safe job. I'm earning. I'm, you know, staying afloat type thing. So how did you deal with that process of deciding, or was it just a very simple, yep, this feels right, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that I become a life coach?
Sure. I mean, good question. Yeah, of course, I had doubts. Yeah, there was no pattern there. There was no formula. There's no template to follow.
No.
It's just, you know, it's not one where you just go to university and become a coach and that's it. No obvious career path. And some people are looking at me thinking, well, when are you going to get your first client, or how are you going to get your first client? And when you're getting barely no understanding, everyone wanted to support me, but they just didn't know how to do it. I had huge doubts. Massive doubts. And then, you know, I was just doing my optometry, and because that's sort of well paid, there wasn't a huge financial incentive to move side to another career. So I just had to keep working on it.
Yeah.
And then gradually, you know, obviously the first few years I was coaching people for nothing, just doing it for the love of it.
Yeah.
And then it just gradually built up into, right, I need to take this more seriously.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, from then I started coaching, and then, yeah, I started doing workshops, seminars. Yeah, very challenging, very difficult, and racked with self-doubt, yes.
And how did you, going into that, because obviously starting your own business in a sense with this mind coach, and obviously with your, were you still battling at the time your lack of confidence, or had the opticians helped you to gain a bit of self-confidence to go out and chase clients and get people interested? Because that must have been quite a battle for you, having to physically go and find people. Hey, I'm David, I'm a mind coach, are you interested?
Yeah.
How was that for you?
Yeah, definitely. Very challenging. And even though I was getting more confidence in myself, obviously this is something new, totally out of your comfort zone. So, of course, still lacking confidence, because people are, you know, no one knows what a coach is.
Yeah.
You know, these days, yeah, everybody wants to be one. And I, what I hear, the stats are that on this planet, 97% of coaches out there who call themselves coaches of one sort or another are not actually qualified. Only 3% of us are qualified. That's the stats of 2019, last year, which is very but yeah, I just carried on getting different qualifications, carried on training. I just wanted to feed my knowledge, which I'm still hungry for knowledge. I'm always learning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I you can never stop till the day you die.
No, absolutely.
I'm not the answer. I don't know it all, but I'm just feeding my mind so I can help others.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And talk to us about that first experience of speaking in front of a large audience. Obviously, that must have been quite an ordeal for you. How was that, and how did you?
I'll rewind back to 1988 quickly to just give you a contrast.
Absolutely.
Arrived in university, arrived in this hall of residence. First night, my parents dropped me off. I cried.
Oh. Yep.
I was all alone. I then knew I don't have any confidence. I knew it.
Right.
People in my corridor, the boys, they seemed so confident. Life was grey and black, which if anybody knows about depression, I think I was depressed. In fact, I know I was then. So then fast forward to about 2008, I believe. I had this seminar, my first ever seminar in a hotel, and I thought, right, and you know, there's Madonna mics, headsets. I had one of those, and I'm thinking, ooh, you know, and thought I was bloody Madonna. So I got up on stage, and it was awful. I just didn't have any. I just didn't know the structure, confidence. In fact, Timmy, the night before the my first ever big sort of speech or, you know, seminar, I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was I perceived there was a knocking at the door, 2:30 in the morning. So I looked at my phone, and I then realized there's no knocking on the door. That's my heart.
My
heart was pounding, and I was suffering a panic attack. I thought my heart was going to explode. It was because I'd worked myself up into a panic the next night. So, yeah, that was my first experience of pre and then post first ever workshop talk. Yeah, first ever talk.
But in a sense, after completing that, even though it didn't go the way you planned, was that in a sense though an achievement? The fact that you actually got up on the stage and delivered that seminar, was that a big victory in itself? Even though the result didn't go the way you probably wanted it to, the fact that you actually got up and delivered it, was that in a sense a big victory for yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm not going to give up.
Yeah.
I refuse to give up. Even though the audience were generous with their applause, I knew. I knew. So, yeah, I thought, I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to have to try again and again and again. And I started doing little workshops with three people. I remember one person turned up a workshop. I still did it.
Amazing.
You know, did a workshop for 100 people, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's not the size of the audience. You've just got to turn up and do it.
Sure.
Get over yourself.
Yeah.
And I researched it, I looked at TED Talks. I looked at books on speaking. And now I actually coach people how to become better speakers.
Amazing. Yeah. What a testimony that is. And what a journey for you to be able to then, you know, that probably gives a lot of people confidence and to think, right, if you can do it, then I can do it. And that's such a, so that's amazing. That's really amazing.
Thank you.
No, that's really amazing. So well done. And do you feel when back in that university day when you first, you know, your parents dropped you off and obviously you were very low on confidence and you said you were depressed. But did the fact though that you probably had that chance to, obviously at the time you didn't see it like this, but looking back, do you feel as though that, you know, as you were sort of introverted, you could watch other people and how they acted, and in a sense that gave you a way to be able to study people's body language, how they look confident, and that almost, you know, in a sense was training you for your career now, in a sense.
Were you watching me, Tim? Yeah, absolutely. Then as a teenager, then I started to just watch sort of body language, microfacial movements without even knowing it. You know, I read about all this stuff now, but I realized I was doing it then.
There you go.
And I was so observant, and then I became obsessed with the mindset. I just kept to myself. I never talked to anyone. I just watched people, and it helped me so much, because over the years when I've had formal training, a lot of the things that they teach us, I've been doing for a long, long time.
There you go. I mean, there's a similar case, Patrick Mouratoglou, who's obviously a well-known tennis coach in the tennis world. He coaches Serena Williams, Stefanos Tsitsipas. There's a thing on Netflix called The Playbook, and it's about different coaches in their area and how they came.
Yes.
And he was similar to you. He was very, very low on confidence, never spoke, socially anxious.
Wow.
But he would just sit back and observe people. And without him realizing it, he was actually you know, doing his job already. And, you know, as a coach now, he can read people's body language, read them well, help them see macro facial expressions, as you're saying. And so, very, very similar. Without him realizing it, he was actually already training for his career, you know,
it's amazing, isn't it?
Working with people. So that's really, really interesting. Great, fascinating. Story. Yeah. Yeah. So how, if a person came to you and said, right, David, I'm low on confidence, how do you go about helping? And if someone's listening to this maybe with low confidence, just give us some of your top tips for someone that maybe is suffering with low confidence or low self-esteem.
I think immediately what comes to mind is just to understand that you're not the only one who feels this way, that at some level many people actually have a low confidence in some area of their life, whether it be relationships or meeting new people. Or starting something and not being able to finish it because you think you're going to fail. With confidence, the actual word confidence comes from the Latin word confidere, to have faith in yourself, to trust yourself. And just to understand that you weren't born this way. Something happened and you can change. And the first thing is to understand, other people think this and you can change. With confidence itself, you know, if somebody came to me, I'd immediately be thinking about, okay, so what was your journey? What led you to, and how did you become like this? Because as a when we're born into this world as a baby, we're just we're just being ourselves. Something happened, so I really help them chart the journey. So understand that okay, something happened to you. It doesn't mean it's the end of the journey. You can change, you know.
Yeah,
and one of the power statements that I teach is, and for me, well, there's two I can share. One is the first one is, I'm not better than you. You're not better than me.
Yeah.
And when the subconscious mind gets that message by daily looking at it, so if you put on a post-it note immediately, top tip: put on a post-it note. Put it somewhere where you can see it in the morning. I'm not better than you, you're not better than me, which means that we're all equal.
Yes.
So if you're feeling inferior to anyone else, I would say immediately keep looking at this statement, because your subconscious mind eventually, Timmy, it learns. It's the storehouse of all our habits, information, etc.
You
know? For example, in tennis terms, when we first pick up a tennis racket, we don't know how to use it. But by by repetition, we become good at serving without thinking about it.
You know? Yes, yes.
It's the same with a power statement. If you see it, I'm not building you. It's not saying, it's not a direct statement. It's telling you something, and your subconscious mind works it out and then stores it. I remember somebody saying to me that she was bullied in the workplace. She'd come on one of my courses, right, and she said that the bully, one day, it was, she was in the middle of the course, she stood up and told the class, she said, the bully in my workplace approached me the other day, and David, you won't believe what happened. She said, that power statement flashed up in my head. I'm not better than you, not better than me. Yep. The bully, she said, confronted me. And I, she said, I put my palm on my hand out. I said, don't you ever speak to me like that again. Yep. I will not put up with that nonsense. I'll report your superiors. And she was shocked at how assertive she was. She had, for the first time of my life, I'd gained confidence and I was assertive. Amazing. The bully never contacted me or bothered me again.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
It was down to that one statement flashed out in them, literally, you know, something flashed out in your head, statement, and that really helped us. So that's a powerful one. Anyone can use that straight away. It just gives you a semblance of no one is better than you. No one.
Yeah.
You know, if you're having that conversation with yourself and you think they are, you need to change that. That's the first one. And the second one is, I remember sometime this year I was coaching someone and she said, David, I go onto Instagram and immediately I see photos of friends and people on Instagram and I feel down about myself.
Yeah,
I lose confidence in the way I look. And by conventional society norms, people would say, actually, she's good looking, but she didn't think so. So I said to her, you know, one of the power statements, remember this, and it was a game changer for me, actually, Tim.
Yeah. Okay. Now,
this one was simple. Everyone is on their own journey.
Yeah,
just
that's right.
That one line, everyone's, and it's true. Because I compare my life to everyone else. I'm thinking, hold on. And those are common words, but if you just look at it and put it on a post-it note, or put it in your wallet or purse, and just remember. Because what it does, it stops you from comparing yourself to everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so those are two tips people can use straight away, Tim.
Perfect. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And do you... Sorry, go on.
No, I said thank you, Tim.
No, that's okay. And do you feel that the process of helping other people, so going into this mind coaching, do you feel that helped heal you in a sense, and like a process, a journey for you of, as your book says, let it go? Do you feel that helping other people helped you to let go of your past and what you battle with, if that makes sense?
Great question, Tim. Great question. Absolutely. It was something that I was born to do. And they often say that people go through a time in their life which is difficult in order for them to realize what they've been through and then be able to help others on their journey. If I was, you know, confident as a teenager and everything was going my way and I was all had it all together, I don't think I'll be doing what I'm doing now. I wouldn't be able to connect with it. But yeah, you're 100% right. You know, my message really at the deepest level, Tim, is about love, self-love. That's what it is. Whether you're a football player, tennis player, whether you're you own your own company, you're unemployed, whether you're a teenager, and I've worked with seniors, I still do. It's about when you love yourself and you know you're enough, it's liberating.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And when did the idea of putting it into a book come about?
Good question. What happened was, Timmy, I started doing these workshops and courses, and because of the success of the workshops, if I could just describe them, people were in a room, say there were 20, 25 people in there.
Sure.
And I would just deliver the content.
Mm.
So they would have their notebook and they wouldn't have to say a thing about themselves because people often don't want to disclose. They would learn the techniques, come back next week, learn the techniques, and the changes were remarkable. There's so many people that they were, honestly, there's some stories you just blew my mind, because I heard about the stories after the courses. After the programs.
Yep.
And there were people who had been angry for years, let it go.
Mm.
There would be people who had had physical and mental abuse, let it go.
Wow.
They dropped their anger. The people who were looking, always looking for validation, looking for love outside themselves, I let it go. They started loving themselves. And then I thought, well, how do I get this message out and help people, more people?
Mm.
The only way around that is a book.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you come up with the name Let It Go?
Yeah. Good question. It was just something I identified with everyone I've ever worked with, that if you could let go of people-pleasing, the need to be liked, need to compare your life to others, holding on to a, you might be holding on to something someone said the other day and you just cannot get out of your head. You know, we've all had that.
Yeah.
You see a text message and you just think, well, what's that person mean? It eats you up. And I noticed that everyone I've ever worked with has had something in their mental backpack. They just need to unload. And if I say to you, Timmy, if you could let go of any of the bad past from yesterday onwards in the past, if you could let go of all of it, press delete, how would you feel?
I think much lighter, wouldn't you? Much lighter. Yeah.
That's what people say.
Yeah.
So that, hence the word let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. And how was the process of writing the book for you? Was it an enjoyable experience?
Yeah, a long experience. Mm. Based on the work of the courses. It's like a project, isn't it? It's just in the book itself, we've got illustrations. So I got the help of a brand new illustrator, Tay.
Okay.
And Aaron, she's brilliant. And and she did the illustrations because I wanted to put a little bit of humor in there, because it's
fun.
And then we had I wanted to make it practical, so I put in exercises, tips, and case study scenarios to help people. So each chapter, Tim, people can refer to standalone if they want to.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Yeah. So it's a book that they can always use. It's not one of these things you read once and then put down. It's you can always come back and refresh yourself and keep applying it to different situations.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
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 It's like, you know, when you go to the gym, we've got to work out all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
Mine's the same. You can just go back.
Absolutely.
And work out.
100%. Yeah. I think people don't realize that. But yeah, you have to work at your mindset as well as your physical body as well. You know, the mind is, as you say, it's very powerful. And if you keep working on that and keep it strong, and it does set you up for success and helps you to deal with all the curveballs that life can throw at you. So no, I actually agree with that. So
yeah, definitely.
And how did you come up with the material? Was it just from your coaching? So when you're doing your studies, you know, because obviously you want to find, you know, what would you say your USP is when someone comes to you as obviously as a mind coach? What would you say your one USP is that makes you stand out from all the other life coaches out there?
Yeah, that's good question. I never think about standing out, but I can answer that. People have always said to me, clients, I've asked them that. They said, oh, your energy, David, your energy.
Oh, okay.
Being around you, you're positive, you're very optimistic. Plus, you make me accountable to do the work, you know?
Yep.
And also, you're completely supportive and encouraging, because I give them homework between sessions.
Okay.
In the form of maybe written or practical tools to practice, but also they get videos. So, to enhance points, but points we might make during the session. But I always say that I've been through a journey and I really, really do understand people's journey and help them get through it. So anything, I've been there and I want to help you.
I love it. And has the book come out yet? When does the book come out?
Yeah, the book's out on Amazon.
Perfect.
It's called Let It Go.
Love it. Well, guys, I think you should definitely go and check that out if that's something that interests you. And how do people, if they are interested, do you do online coaching as well?
Yeah, these days, yes, it's by and large online, and people can get hold of me on. People approach me through Instagram, David yep. _ Rahman. They can mm-hmm. go to the website, david-rahman.com. I'm on LinkedIn, David Rahman, and on Facebook, Mind Coach.
There you go, guys. Go and check him out. So I think one of the last sort of questions before we've got a little quick fire round is, what is this year, 2021? It's a new year, so many possibilities. What are you looking to get out of this year?
Yeah, sure. I want to, even before the pandemic, and I want still want to do this, I want to travel,
teach, okay.
speak, teach, speak, travel, repeat, and spread the message.
I love that. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
No, that's really awesome. No, that's so cool. Right, quick fire round. You up for this?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it. Here we go. So first one is milk or dark chocolate?
Dark chocolate.
That's a very common answer. If you could live in another decade or era, which would it be?
1950s.
Why?
I love that. I love those American diners of that time, you know, from that.
Ah, nice.
That series, Happy Days.
Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. Love it. You're hosting a dinner party and you can have dinner with any three people, dead or alive. Yeah. Who would be at your dinner table?
Good question. Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
My father, because he's not here anymore.
Oh, okay.
And I would say, Richard Branson. I'd like to know about his adventures.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Okay. Well, David Rahman, the movie's coming out. Who plays David Rahman in your movie of your life?
Oh, man. I don't know. Who'd play it? Who'd play him? I don't know. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I don't know, mate.
No, fair enough. It's quite an obscure one. That's okay. That's okay. What's your favorite current TV shows at the moment, past or present?
Okay, past, let's say Only Fools and Horses.
Okay, nice.
And present, I just like watching Netflix. I love The Resident. That's on TV. I love that.
Okay.
It's just an entertaining show.
Nice. Perfect. And the last one, what are your top three songs on your music playlist at the moment?
At the moment? Oh, good question. What's the top three songs on my music playlist? He grabs his phone and has a look.
That's fine. Oh, yes. That's fine.
Pat Benatar.
Okay.
Pat Benatar, Love is a Battlefield. What else am I playing at the moment? I'm trying to give you a proper answer. Because I'm an 80s boy.
Okay.
So I would say, Manic Monday, the Bangles, and these are just random ones. And then let's have one. Oh, I love I've got that on there. Eye of the Tiger, Survivor.
Good song. Very good song. Love that. Awesome. Brilliant. Well, got one more question to ask you, but before that, I just want to say thank you again, David, for coming on and sharing all your great words of wisdom and your story and your journey. It's an amazing one. I know the listeners are going to be really inspired by it. And so thank you very much for taking the time to come on and sharing all your knowledge for us. I hope this year is a good year for you. I wish you success. I hope it's one of your best years yet. So
been a pleasure.
No, so I'll leave you with the floor to give the listeners your biggest piece of advice.
Yeah, okay, brilliant, thank you. I think my biggest piece of advice is wake up every morning, and even if you're feeling down or you've got negative thoughts or doubting yourself, just ask yourself this one question: what could I be grateful for right now?
Wow, I love it. Amazing. David Rahman, thank you so much, guys. Go and check him out on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the platforms, and go and get his new book. It's an absolute amazing read with full of great tips to help improve your self-confidence and esteem and your life. So David,
thank you.
Take care. Thank you very much. And it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Tim. All the best.
Brilliant. And you. Brilliant. Well, guys, that's it. That's episode one of series 5 in the books. It's been good to be back. We'll be back next week. So don't forget to go and check us out next week, Friday, 2 p.m. Same time as always. But until then, guys, have a great week And I'll see you all very, very soon. Thank you very much for listening, and bye for now.